Hi, I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. I'm
hello.
Apparently going bald. I'm shedding like crazy. Yeah, she just
threw a wad of hair.
From my head.
Mm-hmm.
Just to clarify.
Sorry, I'm like, chugging water. I'm so thirsty.
I was saying, I am too. I feel very dry.
Yeah. My skin is dry. My mouth is dry.
I'm glad you said mouth. Just keep it there. This is a PG channel.
My hands are dry. Need some lotion.
My feet are dry.
Same.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah. My feet are really dry.
Yeah, it's bad times. It's like everybody's, you know, like
itchy, everybody's all dried up.
Like winter skin.
It is. My son is too, and yeah. I'm always like putting lotion. And he's like, "Why do you put lotion on me?"
Yeah.
I'm like, we have to. Yeah, you don't want to be all scaly. And he's like, I like to be scaly.
Well, and like, it was over the weekend, got like a bad like breakout on my face. Like, and I don't get acne.
Yeah.
Very much. Like, it's not, like, even as a teen, I didn't really get acne.
Yeah, me either.
But I have one like on my chin now, and like right under my nose. And I've been putting medicine on it to try to dry it up. And
do you ever get, so I get where my nose gets so dry that I end up getting the bumps inside of my nose, and they hurt badly.
Yeah.
My primary care said to do a lot of saline to just keep it moist.
Yeah.
And she said even to do a lot of like Vaseline inside my nose.
So, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nose ones really get me. They hurt a lot. But yeah, the one under, I think it's because I like, which is awful for me because I work in public schools, I touch my face a lot.
Mm.
I need to stop doing that.
It's hard. Easier said than done because you don't always realize
you're doing it. Like, I'll sit with like my hand on my chin or like an old person. Like
No, I do too. It's the therapist in me that's like touching.
But I touch my face.
My favorite emoji is the one that, the one that goes, that's my favorite emoji.
The hand on the chin,
So it's kind of a natural thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to say, I went to my primary care recently, and I'm a migraine sufferer.
Oh, same.
Yes. Horrific migraines. And I've been trying to work with my primary care on, like, how do we find something that, like, really tames my migraines.
Right.
So, currently, I'm on the new round of medication.
Fun.
Yes. So I had been taking amitriptyline.
Uh-huh.
Made me so tired I couldn't function.
Did you take it daily?
Yes. Yes. But still made me so tired. Yeah. And it worked. Like, it helped my headaches, but it made me so tired. So my new one is Topamax.
Ooh.
And so far, so good, I gotta say. And a friend of mine took it, and I was telling her that I was taking it, and she was like, I love Topamax so much. She said, I told all my doctors, take away any of my medicine, but don't take away my Topamax. And I was like, oh, okay.
I have the, it's sumatriptan.
I've taken
it. It's just like the as needed one, like when you start to feel one. But my problem is I wait.
I wait
because I'm like,
too.
Nah, that's not what it is. And then it is what it is, and I need to take it quickly.
And it doesn't help.
Yeah. The last bad migraine I had, which was about 2 weeks before Christmas, actually, was one of those where it hit all of a sudden. Thankfully, I was out with my mom because I couldn't have drove home. Mm-hmm. We were in town doing some Christmas shopping, and she thankfully drove me home, and I immediately went in, had the whole like vomiting, and that was actually the kickstart of the flu. Like, had the flu right after.
Yep.
That. So that was fun.
Do you have the whole like aura? Mm-hmm. And,
well, and I get hemiplegic migraines too, which present like strokes.
That's terrifying.
I've had two of them, and I get the right-sided weakness and numbness. slurred speech, confusion, vision loss in my right eye, like just total numbness, like looks like I'm having and feels like I'm having a stroke.
That's so but scary.
I'm not. I'm just having a migraine. And my head doesn't hurt, which is weird.
Wow.
As part of it. So, like, I don't get the headache, but I get all the other symptoms. So I have to be kind of talked into taking medication because I can't, like, I just get really confused.
I will have those weird, my migraines manifest in strange ways. Like, it typically happens where I'll wake up and I have a headache.
Mm.
And I'm like, I'm fine. And I'll kind of go about my day and the headache's kind of omnipresent and it's there and it just like intensifies and hits me really hard. And it instantly is like, I start sweating. I'm going to vomit.
Yeah.
I start getting dizzy and I'm like, I gotta lay down. I'm gonna throw up. Like all the things start. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I don't lay down and like throw up soon, that you know.
Yeah.
And so one day I was at work and my boss was like, but you were just fine like a minute ago. And I was like, no, I had the headache,
right?
But like, now that's just how it's
migraines
like
work.
Now everything in my body has just started to go off, like I've got to lay down or I'm gonna get very, very sick. So if y'all are a migraine sufferer,
let us know. You know, it's a journey.
Yeah. So hopefully, fingers crossed, Topamax is the...
That's my New Year's resolution. No migraines.
That would be great.
That'd be so great.
That'd be great.
Ugh.
So what is this story about? Is it about a migraine?
It is not. We're going to talk about a ghost story.
Ooh.
We're going to go to North Carolina.
We've been planning on being ghosts forever in North Carolina.
So we're going to talk about one. From Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Ooh. If and when we're ghosts, can we just move to another state? Like, do we have to stay in the same state, or can we just travel?
I think we can travel. I think we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, I mean, there are no state lines for us, right? Mm-mm. We can cross state lines. We're not fugitives as ghosts.
Right. As living people, maybe, but
yeah,
I mean, you know,
we can't speak of that.
No,
Haley,
still in the court system. Okay,
Haley, if that's really your name.
All right, let's go to Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Cool.
All right, on the night of November 20th, 1901.
Oh, far back.
Yeah, a young woman named Ella M. Cropsey, was also called Nell by her family and friends, disappeared from her home in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. 37 days later, her body was found floating in the Pasquotank. Sure.
You got that.
River. Mm-hmm. Despite there being a man convicted of her murder, many questions about her death remain unanswered, and some say that her uneasy spirit still haunts her home in Elizabeth City.
Ooh.
So let's get into all of the history. The Cropsey family moved to Elizabeth City in 1898 from Brooklyn, New York. Nell Cropsey was a beautiful young woman from a wealthy family, and in her new home, she would soon attract the attention of suitors. Nell began being courted by a local man named Jim Wilcox. At the time of her disappearance, Wilcox and Cropsey had been courting for nearly 3 years.
That's a really long time.
Really long time, especially in that time.
Like, didn't they usually court for like 3 months to a year, maybe at most?
Maybe.
And then
we're married.
We're married and popping out kids.
Yep. Well, and it is said that Nell was growing impatient with Jim Wilcox's hesitancy to propose.
Okay.
Yep. Nell began flirting with other men in public in an attempt to
get him to propose.
Yep. However, her plan seemed to have gone awry, because on the evening of November 20th, 1901, Cropsey and Wilcox had an argument. The fight was loud, and everyone in the household could hear that the two were yelling at each other. even if what all they were saying couldn't be fully understood, they just people knew they were
fighting.
Yeah. Some of Nell's family who were in the house at the time did say that she and Wilcox had tentatively made up by the end of the evening, but no one ever learned, you know, kind of where they stood that night, at the end of the night. Like, were they still courting? Were that those at the end of the relationship?
Right.
They what was going on?
Yeah.
Yep. So Nell Cropsey stepped outside the door with Wilcox around 11 o'clock that night, and it was the last time she was ever seen alive.
Oh, that's suspicious, especially for him.
Yep. All right. Mm. So Ollie Cropsey, who was Nell's sister.
Oh, that's a terrible name.
Ollie?
Ollie Cropsey?
I think Ollie is cute.
I mean, Ollie's cute, but
Cropsey.
Ollie.
Cropsey is kind of a
Ollie Cropsey.
Weird last name. So she was Nell's sister, and she heard something bang against the back of the house shortly after Jim Wilcox left. Going out to investigate, she found that the screen door had been
bloody
broken.
Bloody glove, and it was OJ's.
No, it was a broken screen door.
Cato had just gotten back from McDonald's. Oh, wrong case.
Wrong case. Screen door had been broken. So, gotcha. To me, I would think, like, oh, he slammed the door or something, and it broke. Or the wind caught it, or something like that. So she saw no sign of who or what had broken the door. Ollie went upstairs to see if Nell was already in bed, but found her sister's room empty. Uneasy about her absence, she decided, you know, maybe she's went back out or was walking, like walked with him back to his house or something. Like nobody, she really knows. So she was still kind of weirded out by it, but she went back to her own room and attempted to go to sleep. Shortly after that, a neighbor woke up the entire house. The neighbor was yelling that someone was trying to steal the Cropsey's pig.
Why, alert the police.
Somebody's trying to steal the pig. We got to act now.
I, you know what? When somebody tries to steal my pig, I lose my shit.
Yeah, it's bad times. Don't steal your neighbor's pig.
That's what I say.
Don't do
I
it.
Mean, we do have a, you know, HOA.
Right.
So we're not allowed to have pigs.
I mean, but where I live is zoned for agriculture, so I could, in theory, have a pig in my yard.
But who would want
that? But who would want that?
Yeah, they stink.
They do. They're actually very smart.
They are smart, but they stink.
Yeah. No thanks.
There's a lot of noises.
Yeah.
But I mean, my son makes a lot of noises. Sometimes he dissociates and he turns into a cat.
Mm.
We saw that tonight.
We did see that tonight. It was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So, as they're trying to steal the pig, the entire family runs downstairs, where they find the front door is standing wide open.
That's a problem.
The entire family then realizes that Nell's not there. Jim Wilcox's umbrella, though, which was a gift from Nell, is standing inside the door, and no one had noticed it there earlier that night. So, like, did he bring it back? Did he come back?
Was it raining, or is this like a parasol?
I think it was like a raining umbrella.
Okay.
So when morning came and Nell was still missing, the hunt began to find her. Police were called and the entire town searched high and low, but there was no trace of Nell. Suspicion for her disappearance obviously immediately fell on Jim Wilcox, who maintained that he had no idea of what had happened to her. This wasn't really good enough for the local police, so they arrested Wilcox on suspicion of kidnapping and held him in the local jail.
Yeah.
While they investigated further, which kind of surprises me that they did.
Really?
Just in that time period. Like, but I guess with her being a wealthy, well-to-do woman.
I mean, it's logical.
It is logical, but we don't often see logic in these cases, you know? Like,
that's true, but I mean, here's the thing. She was a white woman. He was a white man.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, she was of wealthy status. Her family was probably pushing for it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, with Wilcox sitting in jail and Nell still missing, the family remained in this limbo status of, horrible. Where is she? However, this ended on the night of December 27th, which was more than a month after Nell's disappearance. So, Mrs. Cropsey spotted something floating in the river near the family home. So her mother.
Her own mother found her. Oh,
so, sending some boatmen out to investigate, she, horrifyingly realized that her long wait for her daughter to come home was over. What she had seen floating in the river was her daughter's body. Mm. That's awful. That's so sad. So, in one of the most wild occurrences in this case, a few days before Nell's body was discovered, the family received a letter with a New York postmark containing what claimed to be a detailed account of the events of the night of Nell's disappearance. The letter said that Nell Cropsey had interrupted a vagrant attempting to steal the family pig. Upon being discovered, the man grabbed a heavy stick and knocked Nell unconscious. This man then carried Nell down to the river and stole a boat, rowed out into the river, and dumped Nell into the river. The letter included a map which marked the spot where the body could be found. The spot marked on the map was very close to where Nell's body was eventually discovered. So whoever sent the letter, and if the events it recounts were really what happened that night, remain unknown. So, an odd letter appears, 2 days before the body's found. Now, to me, I'm thinking somebody who knows Wilcox is sending this letter.
Yeah.
But how did it come from New York?
Her family is from New York.
Her family is from New York.
Somebody in the family killed her.
You think? Okay. All right. So with...
I don't know. Something is... Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
It's really weird. So with the discovery of her body, the town went crazy. A lynch mob descended on the jail, demanding that Wilcox be released into their hands. So they were all like...
We'll take care of him. We'll
take care. Yeah. Not great. Nell's parents, however, refused to join the mob and pleaded with the crowd to let justice be served in the courts.
Good. Smart.
Yeah. Eventually, Governor Aycock? It's a terrible name.
Aycock.
Still not great.
There was a school in the Asheville area called Aycock many years ago. Seriously. Glad they
changed that.
It closed.
Oh, well, that's probably good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this governor, he actually sent in a small naval reserve group to disperse the crowd.
Wow.
It was that wild.
All I see is torches and,
Yep. So Wilcox was actually tried twice for Nell's murder. The first trial.
It was a hung jury, no pun intended.
The first trial, he was found guilty, but the conviction was overturned when the NC Supreme Court declared a mistrial. Don't really know why. Second trial convicted Wilcox on a charge of second-degree murder and sentenced him to 30 years in prison. At neither of trial did Wilcox take the stand in his own defense, so he never spoke.
Which is probably a good thing.
Right.
We don't advise that.
Wilcox was pardoned by Governor Thomas Bickett in 1920. And to the end of his life, Wilcox maintained his innocence.
So 19 years after the crime,
yeah,
he was pardoned.
Yep. Yep.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, to me, not having the court records or anything, it seems like they don't really have any evidence.
Yeah.
That this happened.
What did he do? We know what he did for the rest of his life?
No. We don't.
Interesting. I'm so curious.
He did talk a little bit before he died.
Oh.
So, shortly before his death in 1932, Wilcox spoke with W.O. Saunders, the editor of the Elizabeth City newspaper, and he revealed everything he knew about the murder. Saunders walked away from the interview convinced that Wilcock was innocent and planned to publish the full details. 2 weeks after that interview, Jim Wilcox committed suicide. The journalist died shortly after in a car accident. So whatever Wilcox told Saunders, the journalist, would never be heard.
No!
Isn't that suspicious, though?
Yes.
He tells a story. He's convinced he's innocent. Dies by suicide. And then dies in a car accident. Like, that's suspicious to me.
It is suspicious.
That doesn't sound right.
So, okay, so then what's your theory that he tells the story and then someone kills the reporter to nix the story?
Yeah.
So then Wilcox was not the killer all along. Somebody else was.
Yep.
So who was the killer?
I don't know.
Somebody on the inside.
Somebody on the inside.
Has to be one of her family members.
I would think so. I mean, if it came, the letter came from New York. This guy told this journalist, you know, this, you know, story or whatever, the events of that night. Maybe Wilcox had been paid off to kind of take the fall.
Maybe.
Because he didn't speak in his own defense.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he was told or he was threatened, you know, you take the fall for this or I'll kill you.
Yeah.
And then he gets out, or gets pardoned, talks to this journalist, somehow somebody finds out, and kills him and the journalist.
Yep.
That's my theory. That's what makes sense in my brain.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, much like people are told today, never testify in your own defense. Mm-mm. It never goes well for you. And since a lynch mob was out to get him, and think about how... Okay. It sounds so educated for these parents to say, no, no. Let the jury decide his fate. Yeah,
let's leave it to the justice system. Let's leave it
to the justice system. Now, that sounds so educated and so sophisticated for 1901.
Yeah.
But something smells fishy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't subscribe to this theory. I think that something's going on within the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that somebody wanted to off the daughter.
Yeah.
So, was she pregnant?
Maybe. Was she in another relationship?
And was she in a homosexual relationship?
That was my first thought. That's why, and maybe Wilcox knew about it. And that's why he was taking, you know... There's so many theories, so many ways this could go.
Lots of theories.
Yep. So, for the past 100 years, those who have lived in the home where Nell Cropsey lived have reported some strange happenings. Lights go on and off by themselves, doors open and shut by themselves, and there are strange gusts of cold air that move throughout the house. There's also been the pale figure of a young woman seen moving through the house. People passing by on the street outside have reported seeing the ghostly figure of a girl looking out of the upstairs windows.
Well, that could have just been me.
And residents say that the figure of Nell Cropsey has appeared in their bedrooms at night.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, the question is, you know... Is she still, you know, haunting the house? And will, you know, what really happened to her ever be found out?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think everybody who knows is dead.
Well, of course it's been.
Well, yeah, but like, I think anybody, like, I don't think that journalist would have told anybody else that. Would have told somebody that would have told somebody, right? You know,
I think it's too late.
I think it died with him.
Mm-hmm. I think that the story's done and over, but
yeah, this one was crazy.
Wow.
That was really, really interesting.
I mean, just the history of the murder alone, I kind of forgot that it was a ghost story.
Yeah.
I was like so intrigued by this.
It's a, wow. It's a crazy, crazy time.
It has to be some kind of, why would a family or a family member want to kill her? It would have to be embarrassment, particularly people who were of that social status. Mm-hmm. It would have to be embarrassment.
Yeah.
She was pregnant. She was gay. She was doing something that they frowned upon in some way, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Or and making Wilcox mad, too. So mm-hmm. if Wilcox found out that she was in a homosexual relationship, he, too, would be angry. Okay, yes, I'm in. Let me help you kill her. Or, excuse me, he found out that she was sleeping with someone and, you know, he wanted to kill her, too. Like, you know, so mm-hmm. those kind of things, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, or she, you know, got pregnant and that was what the fight was about, and then they decided, you know, well, we'll just go off and together and, you know, have this baby and have a family, and somebody in the family didn't like that idea.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Wilcox let's walk off on this ruse of mm-hmm. like, oh, we're gonna go off together,
yeah,
here, let's go and we'll go talk about it.
And maybe he did it all along, you know,
maybe.
He may have done it, and he may have just told this. But it's odd to me that he then dies by suicide, and then the reporter dies.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a little weird.
Yeah.
But coincidences do
happen. And
who's
to say that it was a suicide?
Right. Or a car accident.
Yep.
Like, it may have been no accident at all.
May have been no suicide or an accident. No.
Crazy.
Just saying.
Crazy, crazy.
Crazy. What a good story. Yeah. Oh, I'm so tickled. I'm so tickled by your murder and ghost story.
Well, if y'all have heard of this one before, or you want to tell us about your migraines, can send us an email at mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. Find us on our Facebook, Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia. Find us on Instagram at mountainmysteries.appalachia, or check us out on our Patreon at patreon.com/mountainmysteries.
Wow, that was beautiful.
Winded. It's a lot to get out there.
That was, yes, and you did a beautiful job. Thank you. Really appreciate it. I'm going to give a shout out to Santa Paula, California.
Oh, nice.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thanks. I really appreciate it. Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye. Holly and Haley out.
Bye.
Bye.